Hello, this is the start of another broadcast of the Intuitive Touch Animal Care Show. I'm here talking today about just what are your most perplexing pet problems and what the heck is animal communication anyway? Because that's a question that many people have is what is animal communication? They kind of maybe have heard of it, but they're not 100% sure what it is, or they just haven't heard of it at all. So I'm here to talk about both of those topics. So I want to start with just letting people know that they are not alone. When our animals are having some kind of behavioral issue or emotional issue, it can be very stressful. Most of us adore our pets and we want the best for them, so we don't want them to be going through these kinds of things. And on top of that, things like potty issues can really stress us out. And that's one of the most difficult problems that a lot of people that contact me have, actually. So we'll talk a little bit about that, give you some example there about how there was a successful situation that I was dealing with potty issues. You can probably see the photo here on my I guess probably, I don't know whether it's my right or my left for you, but probably my right, and that's Roy. He's my potty issue example. And then we're also going to be talking a little bit about another example, Kai, and something that he was dealing with. So yeah, so let's go right ahead and talk about what animal communication is. So animal communication is the ability to understand what an animal is thinking or feeling. It is not observing an animal and knowing what's going on with them that way. It's actually feeling what they're feeling and knowing what they're thinking. So you may wonder, well, how do you do that? Well, it's a little bit hard to explain exactly what goes on in the brain of somebody that's communicating with animals. However, when people are using that part of the brain, there have been studies to show that you're in a wave state that is definitely slowed down from your normal pace. And in fact, before I talk to any animal, I meditate and get into a brainwave state that it really enhances the communication. And I believe that's why most people can do this, because if you just dedicate yourself to doing some meditation before, you'll notice that you get it more into that brainwave state. So that's just a little bit of the technical stuff. But I really believe what it is if you have the heart for animals, if you love animals, you just have to try this and you will be able to do it. So what comes into play there is the story of Kai. Kai is a neighbor's dog, and I actually went over to their home to check in on him when they were away for them. And I had the thought, it's amazing that he's never ripped up that feather bed that he lies on in his crate. Now, he'd ripped up some other things. He'd ripped up a dog bed. He'd ripped up quite a few things, but for a few months now they'd had this feather bed, and I actually never really noticed it when I would go over there. But this one particular day I looked at it and thought, that's interesting that feather bed hasn't been ripped up. I took him out and brought him back in for them, and then later on that evening they informed me that he had actually ripped up the feather bed. Well, I don't really have any doubt what happened there, because this happens a lot. This is kind of like animal communication unrestrained. Animals know what we're thinking and what we're feeling. They pick up on things all the time. You wouldn't believe what animals know is going on in your life. They're very aware of what's happening in our lives. So Kai had picked up on my thought, and unfortunately that resulted in him ripping up the bed, but he was okay. But that's just a good way to highlight that even if you're not trying to communicate to them, very often you're communicating with animals. So that should give people encouragement because it's just something that they do. This is how they communicate. So all you need to do is just to just focus on doing it. And more than likely, you're going to be able to do it. So I encourage anyone who's on the show tonight to post any questions that they might have. That's what we're here for tonight. This is definitely a Q&A kind of a night. And I will get to those questions. And then we do have a giveaway at the end too. So just stay tuned for that. So I also wanted to talk about Roy. I mentioned Roy before. Bring up Roy's photo. There he is. So Roy is a puppy dog who lives in upstate New York, and I had communicated with him from a distance. Roy's person contacted me because Roy was not really going to the bathroom outside. We'd actually go outside, and this individual was putting him, for the most part, in the backyard, and he would come back inside and go to the bathroom. So they contacted me to talk to him about why he was doing this and what could be done, you know, potentially to change that behavior. So when I talked with Roy, and you can do this from a distance because it's really energy. When I meet with an animal in person, hi Jean, thank you for joining. When I meet with an animal in person, I'm doing that energetically. I don't, of course, they're not speaking audibly out loud. So it goes to show that I can do that from a distance, and so can you, as I mentioned. So anyway, I spoke with Roy, and he explained to me that he felt rather vulnerable when he would go into the backyard. He explained that it was a big backyard, it's a fenced in backyard, but it was large, and that he would pick up on a lot of scents out there, and he just felt rather vulnerable. And so he didn't feel comfortable going to the bathroom. You know, and instinctually, we kind of know that in the wild, animals cover up their scent after they go to the bathroom, trying to protect themselves from maybe a predator picking up that scent. So it makes sense. So I spoke with Roy about that and talked a little bit about what might help him in that situation, because that's the whole point of animal communication when I'm working with an animal, is to help find solutions. So Roy said that he would feel better if, excuse me, if his person would take him outside, sort of escort him. And lo and behold, very soon after that session, within the week, he started going to the bathroom inside the house. So that was a wonderful thing. And thank you, Julie, for being on the call as well. And hi to Coco, Julie, and Sammy, all the animals that are with us here. So I was thrilled that that was helpful to the person, because of course they were a little tired of Roy going inside the house, as anybody would be. Potty problems are a common issue. A lot of people come to me with that. I'm wondering if anybody has any questions or comments at this point. You know, there are some other challenges that come up quite a bit with animals. People that contact me, they're sort of repeat issues. For instance, trauma tends to be something a lot of animals have gone through who are adopted. As you can imagine, it's difficult to be taken from wherever you started and transported somewhere else. A lot of animals come up to the north where we are from the south, excuse me. And, you know, that can be very difficult for an animal to go through something like that. So they often come with issues, let's just say. So the way that I go about helping an animal who's maybe got some nervousness, some fear, things like that, is really multifaceted. I will, of course, tune in with the animal, whether it's in person or at a distance. and ask them what they're feeling in their body, what they're experiencing. And this I should have mentioned earlier because it applies to this situation as well. Anything that's going on with an animal physically or emotionally, you know, first make sure that they've seen a veterinarian. We want to clear with a veterinarian that there isn't just something going on that's kind of obvious, something physical perhaps that's obvious that's going on that can be helped that way. The potty problem that I mentioned before, there wasn't anything physically wrong with Roy, and they knew that. And hello, Nancy from San Antonio. Glad that you're here. So for Roy, all he needed really was that communication, and he needed that solution. He needed just, you know, the person to take him out back. For some animals who are having those potty issues, there's, as I mentioned, this sort of a multi-pronged way to address it. Hello, Carmen. So that might be finding certain supplements or essential oils, things like that, to support the different systems of their body. And I do see, so Julie posted that Sammy occasionally goes in the house right after a meal and doesn't even ask to go out. And this just started a few months ago. And so did Sammy, has he been cleared by a veterinarian that there's nothing medically going on with him? That's okay. If you happen to want to comment on that, that would be great. Because of course, that would be the first thing I would check out. But so, as I mentioned, this is a community of people who love their animals, and a lot of people go through similar things. So I'm not surprised, Julie, that you've got something going on like that. A lot of people do with their pets at some point in their pets' lives, if they live long enough, have to go through some potty issues. So if an animal, for instance, has had a lot of stress, for instance, when Kai came up here to the north, he had been from the south, the Kai I mentioned before, he was quite anxious. His pet parents had to actually take him, they would try to take him outside to go to the bathroom and he wouldn't want to go. He would actually hold it. So these issues are quite common. So they had to work on that, and it took some time, and it took a lot of different, you know, ways to deal with that. At some point, they actually, when things got worse with the thunder and things like that in the summer, pet parents chose to use some supplements for supporting them in just that, those times of stress. So, and I also do things like acupressure points. Massage is great for animals who have been through a lot. You know, the systems of their body that are responding to that stress, you want to help support their bodies. So massage and acupressure can be great for that. So you really have to look at, you have to come at it from a lot of different angles and not just assume that one thing is going to work. But the role of animal communication is to help us hone in on what's going on for the animal, and that way we can better serve them. And also get from them exactly what they're experiencing, what they need. And also to relay back to them just any concerns that their pet family members have, or things they want to let them know that they're not sure that the animal totally gets. And while animals do understand, they pick up pictures, images. If we think in pictures a lot, they pick those things up. But at the same time, sometimes things need clarification and discussion. So it's almost just like similar to humans who might need to sit down and discuss something in a more focused way. If that makes sense. Hi, Kathleen. Thank you for joining. So you have a 2-year-old cat named Lucy, and she has been skittish, and she finally is letting you pet her, but she won't let you pick her up and runs from you sometimes. Okay. But sometimes she she seems to bond with your male cat, Nick, and has an older cat, Allie, who sleeps a lot and is not that close. So that's just, she's 2 years old. Okay. So, yeah, I'm not sure what, from what you said, her history was, or, you know, where she came from, what she experienced. But, yeah, sometimes it does take some time for them to acclimate. It's really interesting how over time animals will change. Sometimes people, they adopt an animal and they sort of freak out when the animal has these initial behaviors when they come into the home and think this is going to be it forever. This is like, this is how things are going to be. But it's really interesting. I mean, animals need adjustment times too. And cats are really interesting. They get really attached to their environment. They almost like stick to the walls. They, you know, are amazing that way. They just kind of get into the woodwork. And so moving a cat can be even more stressful. So, you know, I'm not sure where your cat came from, Kathy, but I would assume, even though probably coming into your home, if it was a, you know, sounds like it was some kind of a rescue situation, it was probably great in many ways. It probably was stressful and they kind of go into that survival mode. And possibly if they were feral, then, you know, they're hanging on to that a little bit. My cat Titi, or Tierna, sometimes call her, she was an outdoor cat. And when I adopted her, and while it was clear that she was going to come live with me, in fact, when I went to pick her up, first I had met her on like a Friday night or something like that, or Thursday night, and then maybe it was earlier in the week, they had to do, I think, the spay operation. And then when I went to pick her up that weekend, I went up to her cage that they had her in, and I said, "Are you ready to come home?" And she just got up and did a little yoga kitty stretch, like a downward dog almost, and then sat up and came right to the edge of the crate of the cage, and just, it was clear that she was ready to come with me. But she was still a little bit feral. She hid in a room for quite some time, and it took a while. It took several months for her to warm up and to even come into other parts of the home. So I would say don't despair. I mean, that's what all this is about. There's so many resources for people who are concerned about their animals. And, you know, we're talking about so many different ways that you can go at this to get to the answer. But, you know, remember, in our society, we tend to get into that mode of wanting things quickly. We want things to be stressful, we want them to be over immediately. And we live in that kind of a world where we expect these things quickly. But when we're trying to address things more holistically and long-term, it takes some patience. And it's interesting because it's a growing, like a growth lesson for some of us to have to go through that process and really slowly but surely keep going and persevere. So that kind of speaks to other topics I've talked about as far as animals and our purpose. It's amazing what they will do for us as far as teaching us these things. So I did see that there were some comments. Let me see some questions. Oh, good. So your kitty Julie is getting acupuncture. That's great. I'm sure that that's helpful in this situation. All right. And Nancy, thank you for being here. Your Brussels mix licks blankets and couch continually unless you make her stop. She's been doing this for several months. I've had her for 9 years. So yeah, some of these behaviors just starting out of nowhere, like the one who was going in the house. Yeah, that's interesting. If there hasn't been anything medically obvious, Nancy, with your dog, it sounds like they've gotten into some kind of compulsive behavior. So, I mean, it would be, have had animals that got into sort of like those types of compulsive behaviors. And usually there's some kind of trigger. when I communicate with the animal, they take me back in time and will often show me something that kicked that off. And it could have been something that happened between them and another animal or person, or there was a change in the household, a stress in the household, something like that. Or it could be, some sort of deficiency in their body, and that's what the veterinarian piece, of course, comes into play. But it could be also, it could be many different things. But a lot of times when I'm dealing with that kind of like obsessive stuff, I try to understand where they're coming from, where it started. And then I'll even do energy work to help them to release, wherever it started. And that can be done in person or from a distance. And sometimes it helps to do things like essential oils to support them in that. So those are good things to look into as well. And hi, Dylan. Thank you for writing about Moose, who's three. I'm assuming that's a dog. Yeah. Oh no, a cat. Okay. Who you've had for a year and has started opening all of the cabinets in your apartment. Is that normal? I've had that experience too. And yeah, I mean, that is definitely a concern that he could try to get under the sink and eat things that he shouldn't be eating. And maybe people aren't going to be able to, as watchful. So he has toys. That's good to keep him occupied. So it's not probably that. Yeah. Again, without knowing Dylan and where he's coming from exactly, one possibility that you might want to look into is if he's going into cabinets that are food related, this is just something that's come up in other communications that I've had, where animals were not really feeling satisfied with their diet. I do hear this from animals who are eating a lot of dry food. They have told me about craving meat, especially cats really need that protein. And I have a cat, actually, so I'll share about Gracie. She does this kind of thing. She's very targeted. She knows where her treats are, and you might wonder why I don't move them. That's a good question. but she's not quite as good at, or they're not as easy to open as it sounds like yours are. But she will actually get up on the counter behind me and pretty much yell at me to give her snacks. But what I realized about that was, and this is why it's great that you're, making sure he has toys and that he's, I mean, also hopefully he's playing with those toys, is to keep them busy. So that's part of it for Gracie. And but she's really like got that predator thing in her. And I realized that her standing behind me, meowing and wanting that food, she would sometimes just be there. Like she would know I was going into the kitchen. But sometimes she wouldn't, and she would wait there for me. So she was really hunting. That's what I picked up from her eventually. I finally got the clear picture that she was hunting. This was her just getting that hunter instinct out. So, it sounds like you have some safety concerns as well, and it might even be a matter of like making it a childproof home. But sometimes it's something, it's really particular to that animal, and if you communicate with them, or someone like me communicates with them, you get to the bottom of it and you find out it's something that you never would have expected. So, essential oils are interesting. Someone's asking about essential oils. Essential oils are great for supporting different systems of the body. So, if an animal experiences some temporary bouts of stress, something that I might use with them or with one of my animals might be lavender to support them in that. That's kind of a very general oil that's used for a lot of different things. They call it the Swiss Army knife of essential oils. There's a lot of oils out there. I actually have a free downloadable ebook on my website, intuitivetouchanimalcare.com. You can download that, and that actually might have some interesting things in there for you. You're welcome, Dylan, regarding your question. I hope that things, you find some solutions for keeping Katie safe. So thank you all for your questions. If you have any more, please feel free to post. As you can see, people are probably relating to some of your fellow pet parents on here as you're hearing some of these questions. It's very universal, a lot of the things that go on with our animals. So it's reassuring sometimes to hear other people, because you can think that it's you, something you're doing wrong. And, you know, really with animals, they're extremely forgiving. They give us a lot of grace. And they want to teach us about compassion for others, but also for ourselves. That's a message that the animals give me over and over. So, you know, as we're talking about this stuff and trying to help our animals with these things, please try to be compassionate towards yourself. That's the energy that really changes things and will change our world, is to be compassionate the way that animals are towards ourselves and others. Hygiene, yes, and yeah, they do. They need a little bit of variety, I think, too. I agree with you. Animals desire and enjoy different foods. Yeah, I find that my animals kind of get tired and need that variety. So you start to pick up on these things, like maybe, oh yeah, I've been feeding them the exact same thing for a month. Maybe they're just trying to get something else. I mean, we're like that too. We sometimes need a change. So we probably shouldn't assume that animals want the same thing all the time. So are there any other questions or comments as we're all right. So I'm hoping that everybody here understands what animal communication is. That's something I wanted to try to make sure to convey here today, because I know that there's some misunderstandings about what animal communication is. So just moving out Kai and Roy here. They keep popping up. Okay. They want to stay with me. Oh my. Okay, there we go. So I see, Nancy, you have a question. And Taryn, actually. So let me start with Taryn's question first, because that was posted first. Kimber has begun to urinate in the house, and she is always conscious about that and not vindictive. And you've taken two samples to the vet, and she's not sick. Yeah, so this, as I said, comes up a lot, the animals that I work with. I have had cats, and I know this, we're not talking about a cat, we're talking about a dog right now, but just to let you know how individualized this can be, and Taryn, you hopefully heard, I'm not sure if you were on yet, when I talked about Roy, who was peeing and going both, one and two, in the house, simply because he felt sort of threatened in the backyard. So it can be something like that, where they're just feeling very, like a lack of confidence, and Kai as well, he's feeling a lack of confidence. That comes up over and over with animals, dogs that don't go outside or start to have issues going outside too. Something could have triggered that in them. But just interestingly, cats sometimes that don't have anything, again, medically wrong with them, and start to suddenly go outside of the potty box. It can be something pretty simple as someone needs to get more than one potty box. They've only got one potty box, and that's not enough. Cats are very, very particular about scents. They have an amazing sense of smell. And so if you can imagine going into this potty box, especially those hooded ones where the scent is sort of like trapped in there, and if they're sharing a box with another cat, how that might cause an issue for them. So I've had cats tell me that they just, they need their own box or take the hood off of it. And also cleaning it more frequently, like getting everything out a couple times a day and changing the whole litter box sooner if you have two cats, for instance. There's also something called Litteroma. It's sort of this concoction of baking soda, and I think lavender is one that we use a lot, or something like purification oil that you can put in the bottom of the potty box. You just kind of shake up a concoction of maybe a cup or two of baking soda with several drops of oil, and you put that at the bottom of the litter box, put the litter over it, and that really helps to keep the litter fresh longer. But also cats with litter box issues, it can be other stressors that are going on in their lives. New stressors in the home can actually end up showing themselves with potty box issues. That's how they're kind of expressing that. So that's why it's wonderful to be able to go in and ask them specifically what they're having a problem with. So Nancy mentioned the terrier mix. Your terrier mix. The Steels needs napkins and Kleenex anytime he possibly can. And he's been with you for 6 years. Yeah. So it's interesting. I have a dog who won't eat pretty much anything. She no longer is, you know, I don't have to worry about her taking whatever, shoes, things like that. But paper towels, napkins, those are things that she'll go for. That's my Cheyenne. I have found with her, it's actually because she's kind of got a soft mouth, and she doesn't really like to chew on hard things like toys, like, you know, outside when she's playing or even inside. She doesn't like the harder toys. She just rejects those things. And she really doesn't play with toys. She's 5 now. And after maybe a couple of years, she just stopped playing with toys. But if you give her the opportunity with paper or paper products, she'll go to town. So, you know, for that, what I have just gotten from her is it's kind of like it's easy. It's sort of an easy way to release some energy, you know, for her when she doesn't want to chew on anything hard. She gets that opportunity to rip apart something soft. She quote unquote would have like a soft mouth, they call that with certain dogs. They like soft toys and things. So for her, that's really what it is. She gets this rare opportunity when I accidentally leave something out to rip it apart. So that maybe is what's going on with your dog. I'm not sure about that, but could be. And then there's also, as I mentioned, these can be nutritional deficiencies that animals have. And that's why we, of course, once again, make sure that they are in touch with a good veterinarian. Okay, so yeah, Julie is actually speaking to that her dog was missing some nutrient in his diet, eating the frozen raw balanced diet, probiotics, enzymes, all these kind of cool things, supplements. So he had a kind of a big surgery with his spleen and yeah, removed in November. And the vet thinks that he's not getting some nutrient. So he eats other dogs' leftovers when he goes on a walk, and sometimes even his own. Yeah, that's a tough one because it's, you know, something that followed after a surgery. But, you know, there may be some testing they can do to figure out if there's something, you know, missing from his in his system. I really like to go to holistic vets because I like to hear their different perspectives and how they come from different angles with things, and just know about some exciting, you know, ways to help animals. But that's a challenge with dogs who are eating things like that when they go out on walks, and those, they do tend to say that's nutrient related, something going on there. So any other questions or comments that people have, we can certainly speak to or go go over. Now, does anybody have any questions about what animal communication is, or do we have pretty much a group here that knows, has some familiarity with it? Yeah, it doesn't seem like we have a group that doesn't know what animal communication is. So here's a question. Has anybody found animal communication has solved an issue with their animal? And that could be with any animal communicator, or that you've done it yourself. You've worked with an animal of yours or someone else's, and you had success. Oh yeah, Julie's just saying that he got worse with the spleen removal, but did it before. So he kind of had that proclivity. That's interesting. Yeah. So when I realized what animal communication was, I mean, for a very long time until I was an adult, I didn't know that there was something called animal communication. I had always communicated with animals, but I didn't realize what I was doing and I didn't think about it. So I believe that a lot of people, yeah, Nancy's saying she's tried but hasn't been successful. And like I mentioned before, probably your animal has picked up on what you're sending, but maybe you're not confident about what you're receiving. So I would just challenge everybody not to doubt that they've communicated with animals before. One thing that can be helpful is to start practicing to meditate and taking notes when you do that. So maybe have one thing that you want your animal to start picking up. For instance, maybe one of the animals some of the things that were mentioned here today, like the going to the bathroom in the house issues or picking up things outside you don't want them to eat. Just assume that they're going to hear you and do consistent meditation. And you can actually use, if you, some people will tell me they have trouble meditating, they get distracted. That's why I put out a free MP3 on my website so that people could be guided through a meditation for communicating with animals. It's right on the homepage of my website. That would be a good way to start if you're having trouble just, clearing your head. And also just keep in mind that meditation is not, doesn't mean that you just go blank. That would pretty much be impossible for us not to have any thought at all. So just don't make yourself feel like you're not doing it right if that happens for you. It is a practice, but that meditation guides you through communicating with an animal. So that can help people a lot if you're not sure you're going to be able to sit there and get yourself into the right state. Make it your intention to start observing anything new with your animal and even the slightest difference. Don't question, just write it down, keep a journal. Sometimes people, they just can't quite believe that they're doing it. So changes are happening, animals are acting different. But you sort of push it out of your head like, oh no, that couldn't be related. But it's really important to note those things. Because when I teach, for instance, the first day of my courses, people are getting it and they're telling me, I can't believe that I'm doing this. Well, you have probably done it before, but just didn't really believe it or notice it. And we're just now focusing in on it. So don't let doubt get in the way. Animals really want us to listen to them. And I just always want to remind people, imagine how frustrating would it be if you were trying to get someone's attention all day, every day, and you're trying to communicate something to them and they just completely ignore you. Well, a lot of times that's what animals are going through. So don't, I'm not saying that to make people feel guilty, but I'm encouraging you to support your animal by giving yourself a chance to try that and don't let fear and doubt get in the way. A lot of people grew up in environments, and it's just sort of our society, that animal communication isn't a thing. And to, in fact, in general, doubt your own intuition. So that's unfortunate for obvious reasons, because we all have that intuition. I always give that telephone example where probably everybody here has had that experience where the phone rings and you know exactly who it is before you pick up the phone. That's your intuition. That's your God-given gift. So yeah, Nancy, definitely take a look at that website, grab some of those free things on there, the ebook and the MP3. And also, you know, going through the website, you can always leave your email information, sign up for my email list, because that gives you the heads up about events like today. And I also have a Facebook group that I hope everyone will join. So that's a great environment. It's a place where it's a closed group, and you can go on there and have people on there who you can communicate, talk with, just share experiences with, learn from. And I do special things on there, so it's nice to be a part of that. Things that I don't necessarily post on my business page, I'll share with that group. So yeah, well, you can always start now. Julie's just mentioning that she wished she had that journal now, but and wish she'd written those things down. But hey, you know, start now. Absolutely. It's never too late. Yeah. So, and also, I did just want to make sure we do our giveaway for those who have hung on here. Oh, the group name. That's my Animal Communication and Care. That's the group. That's the Facebook group, Animal Communication and Care. And if you forget any of this stuff, or you need, you know, I'll have a replay. I usually save this and it ends up on YouTube, but there'll be a link through my business page and on my business page for Intuitive Touch Animal Care on Facebook. There's a way to also link to the group. So, and you can always reach out to me, Ann with an E at intuitivetouchanimalcare.com. That's my email if you have any questions. So we'd be happy to have all of you join the group. So pretty much comes to the end, unless anybody else has any comments. We want to do our giveaway, I'm sure. So I just do this randomly. I haven't really come up with a great way of doing it, except to just kind of do the old close my eyes, scroll, and see where I land. And so this is for the Essential Oils Pet Friendly Giveaway. So I'm just kind of like, nah, I have a little section down here where I can see all your names. So I just kind of, oh, Julie, you are the winner. Julie, and I'm not sure if your name is, well, I won't put your last name up here anyway, but Julie's the winner of our, this is a special essential oils spray for, this is pet friendly. So I will be in touch with you to get your information about that. So thank you all for joining today. I'm so happy that you are here. Yeah, and definitely head over to my website, intuitivetouchanimalcare.com, for upcoming courses, individual animal communication sessions, and otherwise animal massage and energy work. And take care and have a wonderful evening, and love to you and your pets. Thank you.